First Book of Kings, chapter 13. I desire that we read first 10 verses with the help of the Lord. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half of thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. This far I desire to read with the help of the Lord. And now, before we proceed on with our reading of this chapter, let us bend our knees, and in our hearts let us worship the Lord in prayer and thanksgiving. O Thou Holy One, Thou All-Gracious One, to Thee belong worship and praise, honor and glory, for all the idols, all the false gods of the nations are vanity, worthless imagination of human sinful and by sin darkened mind. But Thou, O Heavenly Father, Thou art the Creator of the universe, heaven and earth and all that is in them, is a lasting testimony that Thou alone art King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And therefore, O Heavenly Father, because Thou hast given us Thy holy word to believe on the name of Thy Holy Son, our blessed Redeemer, we trust, O Heavenly Father, that even today Thou art worshipped in Thy heavenly kingdom. Thou art praised and honored by all Thy faithful ones in heaven and in earth. And we, as weak and as few as we are before Thy holy face, Lord God Almighty, in our weak hearts we desire to worship Thee, to praise Thee for Thy great goodness and mercy, to love Thee, O Heavenly Father, with the same kind of love that Thou hast revealed in Christ to us, when Thou hast sent Him from the heavenly glory to this low earth, to bring the light and disperse the darkness, to heal the sick, to strengthen the weak, to open the ears to the deaf, to open the eyes to the blind, to cleanse the lepers, and to proclaim the year of Jubilee, thy blessed gospel to the poor in the spirit. Gracious Lord, in our weak hearts we are thankful, and may our soul ever praise and magnify thy glorious name, that that voice of thy truth, that good news for the salvation of the mankind, has reached even our hearts. And in these last days, O Lord God Almighty, thou hast not closed yet the door of salvation. Thou hast not withheld thy goodness and thy mercy from the mankind until the number be fulfilled of all those for whom the precious blood of the Redeemer has been shed. Gracious Lord Almighty God, as thou hast given us today during our morning meeting thy blessed word, as thou inclinest thy holy hearing to hear the prayers and the praises of thy children, now again, O Lord God Almighty, have thou mercy upon us, and open thy heavenly treasure, and open our hearts and minds, O Lord, and fill us with this blessed word of thine. May thy Holy Spirit, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, may thy Holy Spirit dwell in our hearts and rule our lives and grant us the grace and the power to redeem the precious time that thou hast given us while we are pilgrims, while we are, O Heavenly Father, battling in this valley of the shadow of death, that thou always guide us and protect us, lead us and teach us, and reveal to us that we may know what is the voice of thy truth, which path is the path of righteousness, lest we go astray. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, thou make us dead to everything that is evil, dead to sin and death, and thou, O Heavenly Father, by the Spirit of light and life, the Spirit of truth and love, the Spirit of true holiness, and that Christian fellowship, by that Spirit, that we may live and walk in Christ and proclaim this holy truth of thine and invite every soul to the Savior. Gracious Lord, thou make us strong in faith. Thou fill our hearts with thy love. Thou grant us daily that hope ever new, to keep us in expectation of that glorious coming of thine. Thou, O Heavenly Father, make us busy in the deeds of loving kindness and charity. Thou also, Lord God Almighty, keep us from every evil. Teach us how to discern the spirits. Teach us, O Heavenly Father, to shun, to reject everything that is not pleasing thee. Gracious Lord, may not our days and hours of our pilgrimage pass in nothing. Thou, O Heavenly Father, make us faithful, obedient, and zealous to thee in thy holy word. Thou make us, O Lord God Almighty, busy in doing thy will, O Lord. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, thou make us a good example of Christian living, a voice of thy truth, a good example, O Lord God Almighty, of true discipleship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Never leave us alone, never forsake us, never allow, O Lord God Almighty, the joys of this world to entice us away from thy path, nor the sadness and threats and dangers of this life to overwhelm us and keep us from serving thee with joy and gladness. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, this truth of thine we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thou reveal to those that seek thee, and even to those that seek thee not, but whom thou art seeking, O Lord, out of sin and darkness, lead them thou, and give them strong faith to separate them from evil and give them zeal, O Heavenly Father, to forsake everything that is in the world and to cleave to Thy holy word. Thou, O Heavenly Father, remove all doubts and fears. Thou give, O Lord God Almighty, to Thy friends true victory over sin and death. Thou give them new life in Christ and peace and joy that will never cease. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, and when in our weakness, O Lord God Almighty, we step aside, Thou turn us back right away. And when Thou art revealing our mistakes, our shortcomings, Thou grant us Thy grace to see and to understand that without Thee we are nothing. Thou grant us, O Lord God Almighty, the blessing of true and sincere confession and acknowledgement of our wrong, and sincere and true prayer for Thy forgiveness. And Thou in Thy goodness and mercy, O Lord, continually cleanse our conscience. Continually, O Heavenly Father, purify our inner man, our thinking, emotions, affections. And Thou grant us holy Christian desires. Thou grant us endurance, perseverance, and the whole armor of faith, that we may battle in faithfulness and truth. And Thou grant us, O Heavenly Father, this bread of life to give us new strength every day. O gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, Thou be our guide, our joy, our happiness. Gracious Lord, according to Thy grace, according to Thy holy and trustworthy promises, proclaim this gospel far and wide. Thou, O Heavenly Father, reveal the beauty of Thy teaching, the power of Thy word, the strength of Thy Holy Spirit to be manifested, and the name of Christ exalted and respected and loved, that with gratitude the praises of Thy children may rise up like incense, O gracious Lord, all the way up to the throne of mercy, where our great High Priest is interceding for us in His name. And for Thy name, for Thy name's honor and glory, we pray, O Heavenly Father, glory and honor be to Thee forever and ever. Amen. In our second reading, dearly beloved, again, with the help of our Heavenly Father and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let us read from the same chapter 13 of the first book of Kings, from the verse number 11 to the verse number 19. 1 Kings 13, 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Then they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come home with me, and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. This is what I desire that we read, the portion of this chapter. When we read a chapter of this kind, there might be many more questions than answers we can give. It might be somewhat helpful to remind ourselves that this is taking place during the first great apostasy of the children of Israel. Now, this was open and organized further away from the law of God, but this was not the first apostasy. As a matter of fact, the first one started by Solomon the king. When the kingdom of Israel was in its best state, when they were blessed more than ever before, and the power, the might of that kingdom was known in all the kingdoms around, and the whole country was in peace and prosperity, the King Solomon, to whom God was revealed twice, to whom God talked by the word of God, that King Solomon, that in his life as a king displayed a wisdom that was not known far and wide all over the world, even so much that the Queen of Sheba came from afar, from her country, to see and to hear the wisdom of Solomon. That King Solomon transgressed the word of God. First one step, and then another one, and then another one, and another one, and finally he ended up in open idol worship, even so much that when he was rebuked by the prophets, he would not listen. He listened to his many wives that he crowded in his palace from all the Gentile sinful nations that were around them, which the Lord God commanded so clearly in the law of Moses, saying, ye shall not do that. At that time, the prophet Ahijah met a very intelligent and fairly young man, very skillful, talented young man, whose name was Jeroboam. Ahijah, the prophet, met Jeroboam in a field away from the people, from the cities and towns and villages. And the prophet told to Jeroboam that he, Jeroboam, is going to be the king of Israel, to 10 tribes of Israel, because the house of David has forsaken God's ways. And so it was fulfilled. After the death of Solomon, Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, a very spoiled young man, a very foolish prince, a grandson of David, but a man who did not care for the Lord, but only for his own pride and selfish enjoyments, inherited the throne of his father Solomon. And when the people that were tired of paying high taxes in money, in the first fruits of their fields, vineyards and flocks and all that they had, and also in their own labor building the palaces for the King Solomon. They came to King, to the Prince Rehoboam, and they said, "We will serve thee, O King, if thou wilt ease the burden that thy father has placed upon our shoulders." And Rehoboam asked the wise men of his father, what shall he answer to the people, to their elders, to their rulers? And they told him, if thou wilt serve these people today, they will serve thee all of thy life. But Rehoboam was a proud man. He was not used to serving. He was used to being served. So he turned to his friends, the sons of the princes, rulers, and those that were with him, that grew up perhaps in the palace of the King Solomon. And he asked them, and they said that he should display arrogancy and pride and strength and harshness to show them that he is the boss, he is the king. And after he did that, they turned away and left him and said, you rule for yourself. And the kingdom was divided, and they called for Jeroboam and made him the king. And when King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, sent Adoram, who was over the taxes, some kind of a minister of finances, when the king sent him to collect taxes from the people stoned him to death, and he died. And the king, Rehoboam, quickly escaped from the people and went to Jerusalem. And so Judah and Benjamin remained, and a part of the tribe of Levi, being the priests, remained in the kingdom of Judah with the house of David, but the rest, the 10 tribes of Israel, became the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. And Jeroboam became their king. And then Jeroboam started thinking, what is going to happen? God has promised to Jeroboam that if he's going to be faithful, if he's going to be a godly king, that he's going to reign and be prosperous. But Jeroboam did not want to serve the Lord. He was thinking about the promises, perhaps, the promises that God had made to the house of David, that his sons, David's sons, will continue on the throne forever. And so, Jeroboam said in his heart, if these people will go 3 times every year to celebrate the feasts of the Lord in Jerusalem, then in the process of time, as they were displeased with Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, they might be displeased with me also, and they will kill me and return the kingdom back to the house of David. So he devised a plan. In the chapter 12, verse 26, we read and on, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if these people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of these people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king, King Jeroboam, took counsel and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, remember, in the wilderness, Aaron made one golden calf. And the people worshipped the calf, and they proclaimed the feast of the Lord. But it was not Lord Jehovah, whose image no one can make. It was Lord the calf, their God, whom they made for themselves. And then what happened, we know what a judgment from God was executed upon the idol worshippers, and how they, some of them, turned back to the Lord when Moses came down with the plates engraved by the commandments of God in his hands, and how Moses broke the plates. And from that moment we have that saying that in the hands of Moses the commandments were broken. But the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ spread on the cross, and his hands pierced with the spikes, fulfilled the law of God. Well, at that time it was one calf. This time, Jeroboam the king made two calves. He wanted to divide the people. The people should not gather together. They should be divided. They should not travel too far and learn to be one nation, to be brothers and sisters, but to be as divided as much as possible. And then Jeroboam is going to rule by their local rulers. It's much easier for a king to rule over a few people that are afraid of the king, and because of that fear they will be faithful, obedient, than to rule over the thousands of Israel. But did no one remember that the law is against this? How did that happen, that the children of Israel and so many prophets that were in the land of Israel kept quiet and no one said anything? And there was not a single voice of testimony against the idolatry that the king Jeroboam established. So, he set one calf in Bethel and the other he placed in Dan, and this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And the king made an house of high places, so the idolatry is in progress. And he made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Why he did that? It was a revolution. He didn't trust the people, the priests of the Lord, or the priests of the tribe of Levi. And then Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month of the, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. What he said, the people need feasts, the people need celebrations, the people need to rejoice, to have something to entertain them. So he did in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he made, and he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. And so he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Jeroboam, the king, himself was officiating as their high priest. Now, this was a custom of the people around him. But not in the ministry that was in the priesthood that was ordained by the Lord according to the law. And as Jeroboam was offering incense before the altar, and probably the sacrifice was upon the altar, burning fire was under the sacrifice, and there were some ashes around on top of the altar, and it's a very solemn moment, and I would think that there were many people around the altar, or at least before the altar, as the king was offering incense. And at that moment, I would think that it was a very quiet, silent moment. And then all of a sudden, not very far from the altar, there is a voice crying loudly, "O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord." Now, this time, the Lord was not the Lord Calf, but the Lord God, Jehovah. "Behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall he burn upon thee. This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." And at that moment, the altar fell apart. And the king Jeroboam turned around and looked at the prophet and stretched forth his hand and said, "Get hold of him. Arrest him. Catch him." But probably the people did get hold of this prophet. But the hand, the arm of the king Jeroboam remained stretched away and withered, paralyzed. And the king was shocked. Not only the king, all the people were shocked. And so, instead of lay hold of him, on him, he said with a different voice, "Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God." He's talking to the prophet. "And pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again." And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, "Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward." And the man of God said unto the king, "If thou wilt give me half thine house, or half of thine kingdom, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest." And then the prophet turned around and left the king and the broken altar, and the ashes spread around the altar, and the people that worshipped the calf, and the man of God went back toward the land of Judah. Well, the man of God did not eat anything since he crossed the border. He didn't drink in that land. Perhaps he had some food of his own. Perhaps he had water of his own. He was not supposed to take anything from that land that was polluted by idolatry. But he also felt that he could rest, at least a short time. So he rested under an oak. And as he rested under that oak, there comes a man riding on another donkey. And when this man came to the man of God, this man from the land of Israel asked the man of God that came from the land of Judah, "Art thou the prophet?" And the prophet said, "Yes, I am that prophet." And this man from the land of Israel said, "Come home with me and eat bread. Accept my hospitality." And the prophet said, "I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of God, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest." And this old prophet of the land of Israel said unto the prophet from the land of Judah, "I am a prophet also, just as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water." Now, two men that know not one another, both of them claim to be prophets, and one has a commandment from the Lord, and the other one claims to have a commandment from an angel of the Lord. This one that came, the old prophet of the land of Israel, does not argue the fact that the prophet from the land of Judah has the commandment of the Lord. But he's challenging this prophet from the land of Judah by saying, "An angel spake to me." Which of the two commandments is valid? Which one is the right one? How shall the prophet from the land of Judah know if this prophet from the land of Israel is saying the truth or lie? What was so deceitful that enticed the prophet from the land of Judah to trespass the commandment that was given to him so expressly, so clearly? Why did the prophet from the land of Judah believe this prophet that lied to him? You see, the word of God, or the commandment of God, can change in words from time to time. The Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, "Don't take any money. Do not protect yourself. Do not take two garments, nor the staff, the rod in your hand, and go only to the last sheep of the household of Abraham." And then later on, the Lord told them, "Go into the whole world." See, there is a change. Because this lying prophet had a fresh commandment. Because the commandment that the prophet from the land of Judah received was the first one he could have thought in his mind. Well, chances are that the word of God that was given me has expired, and God has sent a fresh commandment. But then there was a catch. There was a snare. The first commandment has not been fulfilled. God did not change His first commandment. You see? When the Lord sent the children, the apostles, to the last sheep of the household of Abraham, He later on revealed to them that the last sheep of the household of Abraham is every soul in every part of the world, every soul that He has redeemed by His blood. In the beginning, the Lord revealed to His disciples as much as He had prepared them for to do. And then later on, He revealed to them more, for they were better and more prepared to do more than in the beginning. So the second commandment that He gave to them was not against the first commandment. Wherever the disciples went, they first preached the gospel to the people of Israel and then to all the other people. In this case, the second commandment that was a lie is clearly against the first commandment. Because the first commandment said, as we read that, it says, "Thou shalt not eat bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest." The first commandment will not be fulfilled until this prophet of the land of Judah returned back to the land of Judah. And he was not supposed to rest. He should have completed his task without any delay. Every delay in fulfilling the commandment of God is negligence. Disobedience. One disobedience opens the door to another and to another, and that's a path of destruction. But now let's turn and look at this thing from the other side. Why did this prophet from the land of Israel lie to the man of God? Did this prophet from the land of Israel really believe what he preached? Did the prophet from the land of Israel believe that it was an angel of the Lord that gave to this man the idea to haste after the prophet from the land of Judah and to take him back to trespass the commandment of the Lord? I think there is a safe rule for us. If we know the commandment of God, and we plainly know that that is the commandment of God, let there be thousands of prophets, we shouldn't believe any of them. Just simply don't believe it. Second, before we believe to anyone that is bringing a different teaching, we turn to the Lord and ask Him what to do. The Word of God gives us clear instruction how to fulfill the commandments of God. Then, there is another thing that is very important. If that different message that is claiming to be from the Lord our God offers anything that is enjoyable and pleasing to our flesh, there we should put double watch, double protection, extra caution, because that probably is the way of Satan. You know, if this prophet from the land of Israel came to the prophet, the man of God from the land of Judah, and said, "An angel appeared unto me and commanded me to come and invite thee to go back to battle and to prophesy to them more against their idols, and they're going probably to slay both of us. This prophet would not so easily accept that. But come and eat and drink and be merry and relax and rest and enjoy yourself. Oh, that could be. See, that's acceptable. That's human. That's carnal. That's so easy to accept.